I have no clue where to start today.
There's a monster truck monster jam in Vancouver tomorrow.
That just doesn't help me. Are you going to it?
No, I was thinking it was going to be too noisy.
The one rub with those monster truck things is that you end up paying for the whole seat, but you only use the edge. Hello and welcome to episode 108 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
When you say that, that's when I drink coffee.
Oh, really? So did you have a sip?
Yeah, yeah. Just giving the listeners a behind the scenes, a look behind the curtain.
Great. I'm sure everyone was anxiously awaiting those details.
Yeah. So write that down. That's how podcast 101, when to drink coffee is when Adam speaks.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a drinking game, sort of.
All right. Now I know.
So, quick update on the whole lawsuit we talked about last week.
Okay.
I have no update.
Okay.
So...
it's ongoing.
Yeah, I have no clue what's going on, but I will... My whole thing, maybe I got to it last week, I don't know. Carry on until there's further instructions, but when there are developments, I will let you know.
Okay.
Not just you, everybody. Everybody will find out.
So I that's great. Good to hear.
Yeah. So no news so far.
Okay.
How are you enjoying the 6D?
Enjoying it.
I'm going to ask you every week for a while. That's pretty much how it's going to go.
Yeah, still enjoying it. Recognizing that I'm really not using the camera, the other camera, often.
Are you kidding?
No, not using
my
it.
My next note is, are you using your old camera at all?
No. But, oh, actually, that there's one exception. I am trying to... help my wife learn camera basics, so we've been using it for her lessons.
I'm going to tell you something, okay? Now, I want to reiterate this fact. I do not share the show notes with Adam because he wouldn't bother reading them anyways, okay?
Yes.
We don't discuss this. I write a bunch of things I'm going to ask, and my next question is, are you teaching your wife to use the camera?
Really? That's two in a row. We're I don't know, what do you call that? What's the word for that? Synchronicity or something like that?
Well, I'm going to say that in this situation, I'm Hannibal Lecter and you're Jodie Foster. And I'm right inside your head.
Okay.
Yeah. And plus, I know you wear that perfume, but not today.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's the camera that I'm tutoring my wife on. So the idea being not... it's basically what I thought is that now that I have these two cameras, and that other camera is still a very good, you know, entry-level camera, but I thought I'd like her to put it to use so that I might appear in some photos with my children. So that was the method. And she establishes a word each year that she tries to, I don't know, embody for the year. And this year her word is learn. And so I thought, hey, perfect example would be, how about you start to learn about photography? So we've covered, you know, a few of the basics. We've covered the shutter speed, the aperture, the ISO, and she has a pretty good grasp. I've been giving her sort of test scenarios and questions to try to work through in her head.
Flashcards?
Yeah, no flash. Well, she has, yeah, made a few kind of cheat sheet notes, but yeah, I think that it's a step in the right direction so that, yeah, I can be in some more photos without having to plant my camera on the tripod and do the run-in.
That's something that's funny. The reason I laugh is because I've had the same thing with my wife, who had the same conversation, and she does the same thing. Like she's learning as well, and exact same things that you just discussed. And so she generally has an idea where to start in a situation. Like she'll come running in and say, "Oh, what about, you know, should the ISO be this?" And then, you know, basically it's two different ISOs. It's either, is it 100 or 1600?
Right.
But so she's still asks a lot of questions, but
that's good.
In the right direction.
Yes, and it's interesting because, you know, my wife's a teacher, and so, you know, I could see some of the early frustration. And I've never really been Well, I guess in the world of sciences, I've done some teaching, but it's just completely different doing something like this, which, you know, by no means am I a veteran of the craft, but mm-hmm. I do feel like in doing this for the last couple of years that certainly there is a lot that has stuck with me. And so as far as the basics go, I think I have a very solid foundation. And yeah, just stuff that, you know, you kind of want to pass on to other people. You get enjoyment out of it, and you sort of see, you know, people close to you, and you think, man, it's really not that difficult, and you'd kind of want to pass it along, right?
Mm-hmm. And there's an old saying, I don't know if it's just here in Germany or around the world, probably around the world, the man who cuts his own firewood is warmed twice.
Okay.
Now, what that means is, how it applies here is that... by teaching your wife, not only will she get good at this, you will get better. Because when you teach something, you sort of refine your own skills.
Absolutely. And it yeah. makes you think about it in a different way as you're questioned on what in your head might just seem obvious. You have to actually think it through as to the why. So, no, yeah. I'm definitely enjoying it. And, yeah, just something different to be able to sort of, you know, teach as opposed to just be the learner.
What did you shoot this week?
I did a few photos for a professional group. So not anything that I think, you know, bears a lot of talking about on this show, but I did a big group shot, and I know we're going to talk about group shots at some point in the future. So maybe we'll hit that when we come to group shots.
I think that'll be episode... We've been talking about it for quite some time, but I think it'll be episode 110.
Okay, big 110. So
the way it's all merging in here is looking like 110.
So I did a challenging group shot. So we'll save that for another day. And other than that, I took my challenge photo for this week, which, spoiler alert, is not a star photo. We have had the weather... be uncooperative this week, so nothing but fog and rain for this week. So one night I did make an attempt, which I thought was my best chance, and the small patch of stars that I could see from my back porch within 5 minutes was completely covered over by clouds. So yeah, mm-hmm. I did get a couple. I think I got the first 1 minute and 30 seconds worth of star trail, and then that was quickly put to an end. So anyways, yeah. I will give that a shot as soon as we get a really clear night and I happen to be at home
in July.
But yeah, there wasn't a lot of photos again this week. My primary photo taking is done on the weekend, and I don't believe last weekend I had a very eventful photo weekend. So how about you?
Same kind of thing. I find I take less in the winter as it is. I mean, summertime, obviously, longer daylight hours and you're outside more and that. But I did take a self-portrait this
really?
Week. Yeah, well, I wanted to update my profile photo for, you know, for the 18 million things I need passwords for.
Right.
And so I wanted to take my one I have now is fine. It's but it's, you know, a year and a half, 2 years old or something like that. So I want to take a new one of me, and I'm happy with it. They look good. It's just that I look like kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And besides the obvious, I look like I'm really just sitting there, kind of a neutral look. Not trying to look cool, just decent lighting, decent background, little snowy background, because I thought, hey, it's winter, let's do that.
Right.
And I just get the impression that I think that I look too cool for school.
Right.
And I didn't want to put that out there.
Okay, well, maybe you should send it to me, and then I'll be the judge.
Oh, I think I already know what you're going to say.
I don't think I would say that.
Oh, but you'll think it, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I'll definitely think it.
No, okay.
It already. I haven't even seen the photo.
Okay, it's in there now. So you can have a look in our what have you there.
Okay, so you want me to look at it right now and get my instant reaction?
If you want.
Sure. So this is... oh, goodness, no.
Am I... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you should put that up on Facebook for sure.
I didn't. It was for Facebook, and then I just looked at it and was like, what is this guy doing?
You know what it is? What I have to say it is? It's the intense jaw clench that you've got going on.
That's not jaw clench. That's
it looks
just
like
me.
Jaw clench because, you know, like I can see the dimples. Would they show up if you weren't jaw clenching the dimples?
Depends.
See, it looks like a jaw clench because, again, you're a closed mouth smiler, right?
Right.
You don't really do the smile thing in photos.
Right.
And so you got to put this photo up now that we're talking about it because people are going to want to see it. But yeah, you look like, hey, I'm staring a hole through your soul kind of
look.
But
I think it is a product of well-placed light that does shape my face nicely that makes those dimples look like that. Otherwise, because normally, no, you wouldn't notice them, but they are highlighted by the angle of the light. It's hard light.
Yep.
And the angle it's coming from creates those shadows nicely, and that's that. It's no, there's no secret. I didn't, you know, just drop down and do a quick 200 push-ups and then pop up into the frame. That is legitimately me just standing there and in my head smiling, honestly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, or at least smirking. Like, I didn't want to be big toothy, hey, who wants to buy a used car? But right. I also didn't want to be Blue Steel, and here
it
we are.
It is kind of Blue Steel, and you do have a bit of the Justin Bieber hair going on, too. So
what?
Yeah, no, that's a Bieber. You've got a Bieber going on.
Bieber has the... No, come on. That is... What I have there is just short haircut.
No, there's a top kind of like a little bit sticky uppy on the top and, you know... Yeah, looks like it's a mini Bieber.
Okay, wait a second. We've been doing this for a lot longer than Bieber. I would take it if I had that whole... The whole swirly hair that he used to have.
Right.
That's still a Bieber. This is... Come on. At this point, Bieber's wearing an Allen. How long have I had that haircut for? Come on.
I don't know.
That haircut, I made the contention that the short, messy haircut is my generation's mullet.
Yes, it is.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh man, I'm 19, I got the haircut I want, I am just going to cruise and do nothing different.
Right.
And I have done things different. This is a long story. But point is that I took that picture, I immediately recognized it for being kind of a, I don't know. I don't want to say it without swear.
Right. No, I think you should put it up there for, you know, general consensus opinion.
Yes. This is I'm putting it up there for opinion. I think everyone's going to share that opinion. I think you want me to put it up there to get a good laugh, and I'm happy to do so.
Okay.
Happy to do so. In that case, I don't mind being the butt of the joke as long as everybody knows that I'm in on it.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So I did that, and then we took pictures of sledding, of course, because there's more snow here.
Right.
And then some friends came over. A friend of my wife's came over and brought their kid, who is, I don't know, it could be 8 months, maybe, 8 months old.
Okay.
And so I snapped some impromptu photos of him for them, because they're very nice people.
Great.
People like to come over for coffee, because if Alan's around, it's like, well, sure, he's going to get his camera out, maybe.
Yeah, just hope, please get it out.
Yeah. No. They didn't, it's nothing nefarious like that. But the kid was really, really smiley, and my daughter was really excited that he was here and liked to play with him and stuff toys in his nose. And
right.
So I thought that'd be a nice opportunity to just get one flash out and fire away, and that's what we ended up. And they were thrilled.
Good.
So there's that. That's what we shot.
Oh, I think I did shoot a couple pictures in me thinking about it of, again, at the playground. I posted them on Facebook. So if anyone wants to see them, I put them up on Facebook. That seems to be my move now. If I shoot anything that's decent enough that I want to share with the world, then I'll just put them up on Facebook. So don't check the blog, the Adam's Corner blog. It will never have anything because
right.
Facebook is easier, and that's kind of my move.
Easier, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easier.
Oh man, you are like electricity, path of least resistance. That's why we call you electric.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, no, and it was funny because it stirred. I don't know if you saw it stirred a little bit of a debate. Someone had posted something along the lines of, you know, making the argument that, you know, the equipment must make a difference because they thought my photos instantly have been better since I got the new gear. And
yes.
I agree. It does make a difference.
Yes.
So
that's a very difficult question though. Like it's not a simple answer as you're saying. I mean, in your case, it's a very simple answer. Yes, it does make a difference. It does, but there are times when it does not make a difference.
Oh, absolutely.
For instance, 2 years ago, well, you know what? Save this for episode 111 when we talk all about does the equipment make a difference and all that stuff. That we'll discuss that.
That's now an episode.
It always was an episode. I didn't know when it would be, but I'm as we sit here and roadmap this live on the air, 111.
This is a statement of the upcoming podcast's event.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a press release. So. Yeah.
Great.
We're going to talk all about that because I have, as you can imagine, 1 million thoughts about that and whatnot. So last week's EXIF Oku, by the way. Get this out of the way. I didn't read. I had a busy week, believe it or not, doing nothing. But I didn't read as many of the guesses. I think someone guessed that we maxed out our ISOs again because ISO was the missing component.
Okay.
Remember your shot through the window?
Yeah.
And my shot of I forget. Oh yeah, the bleak landscape.
Right. Remember? Yeah.
Yeah. So people guessed that we and max the ISO out again.
And we didn't.
We didn't. We almost took almost the exact same ISO, one a third of a stop difference only.
Okay, I don't remember what mine was.
Yours was focal length was 85 mil at f2.5 at 1/250th of a second, and the ISO was 800.
Okay.
Mine was on the crop sensor. I took using the 30 mil at f5.6, 1/200th, and mine was ISO 640.
Okay.
So there you go. That was last week's. This week's photo challenge.
We're supposed to do a star trail.
Okay, let me just stick to the script for a little bit.
Okay.
A lot of positive feedback for doing a show about star trails.
Okay, that's
good. In fact,
good.
Some of that positive feedback was from you and I because it kind of looked exciting.
Yeah, something different that I've never done and didn't know how to do.
Or didn't even care to ask.
Yeah.
Which is a nice way of saying that, really. And that's actually not a nice way, but it is a nice way to say it. It's something I never even considered. It wasn't like I thought, you know, hey, at some point I'd like to learn how to do that. So sometimes it takes someone like Don to come in and basically, you know, introduce you to something you had no clue about.
Right.
And then, you know, make you think you want to do that.
So, and I don't know if we pumped it up or not, but... you know, Don, did we talk about the fact that he had the cover photo for the Outdoor Photography Canada? Because I don't think we did.
He brought it up.
He brought it up before we went on.
But he was on the cover before, though. I didn't mean to downplay it, but like this is his second cover, I think.
Yeah, no, it is.
Regardless, it's my zeroth, so yeah. I don't want to downplay it at all. Yeah, he is. He was on the cover. Have you seen it?
Yeah, no, I saw it the other day. I looked it up. And just online and looked at the cover photo, and it's spectacular. So not to take you off topic or anything, but I just thought, you know, I don't think we gave him the due credit that he's got the cover again for his photo.
And I urge people to check it out if you can either subscribe to it or find it at the newsstand. See, if I was you, I would probably just go hang around a newsstand where it is.
Right.
And every time someone walks by, I would just point it and go, yeah, I know that guy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. He's been on my show. On my show. He's been on my show. Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. That's my move. I'm pretty sure that's how you land the ladies, is pointing to Outdoor Photography Canada.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to land the ladies or anything.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's just, yeah. Anyways, we also, so I was looking forward to doing this. Doing the star photos, like going out there and being outside in the freezing cold for an hour or plus, because I probably wasn't going to leave my camera out in the backyard.
Right.
But I was going to probably have to go hang around out there. And so the thought of doing it, doing the star trail photos, it was kind of, for me, like running. I like having run. I don't like running.
Yes, I understand. See, so for me, it's like I like the idea of running.
Oh, yeah, no, I like the idea. The implementation is awful.
Right.
And then as soon as you're done, oh, it's great.
Yeah, oh, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah. And the best part of smashing your hand with a hammer is when you stop doing it.
Right.
So that was kind of how I was looking at this, like, yeah, right, I wish we did this in the summertime when I could just, you know, go sit on the roof of the apartment and the building and have beer and stuff. But that was not the case. So I thought, okay, let's get out there and do it. And then, like you, we had 7 consecutive days of cloud.
Right. And it's kind of just that time of year, too. Like, I don't know about Don and being in the East Coast. If they get a lot of cold, but I think I'm guessing they get a little bit more clear based on the fact that I live there for a long time of my life. They don't get the overcast that the West Coast gets day after day after day.
Okay, so, hang on. Did you just call that the coast?
Where I live?
No. In Ontario?
No, it's not the coast, but it's in the east. Okay. Did I call it the East Coast?
Called the East Coast. And so I know that you know better because you used to live there.
Well, and I was born really on the East Coast, so.
Technically, the lake could be a coast.
Yeah, it's close enough. So,
anyway, so we had the clouds, and that was that. But I said, I'd go out and take a picture of me trying.
Right, and so that's what you did.
I did. I did. So let's have a look at mine first, okay. If you don't mind.
Sure. I'm looking at it now.
So here's me on the roof. You can see there's snow.
Yes.
And I thought in honor of Don, because this was his whole idea, his whole thing was doing the Star Trails, I would put on my Sault Ste. Marie dinner jacket. Or Sue, he's from the Sioux, right?
I thought it was Barry.
I don't know. I'm going to lump it all together.
Yeah, close enough.
So I put on my Barry tuxedo.
Right.
And went out there and snapped this photo.
Okay, so I get it. I get the whole idea of what you're doing here, but this is a way too much like your the pose in your other photo, your new Facebook photo.
No. This is
way too, hey, I'm a tough guy. I'm trying to be a model on the cover of Lumberjack magazine.
Yeah, but that's the point.
Oh, you were trying to be on the cover of Lumberjack magazine?
Okay, I got a call back for the auditions for the Paul Bunyan story. And so it's going to come down to whether I have to dye my beard dark or not.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's what this is for. It's my headshot for Tabernacle magazine. Does that count as a swear if it's in French?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Spoiler alert. That's a swear.
Our French listener is now super offended.
Oh, yeah. I think only in Quebec, though. I don't know if that's a swear in France.
Okay.
anyway, I'm well aware of the fact that I don't look like this in everyday life. Right. I don't walk around wide loading. With the arms, I mean.
Right.
Yeah. So I get it. Don't trust me.
Which way to the gym?
No, I don't need to go to the gym. Look at that. Yeah.
Even the pose with the hands, it's like, I just finished benching 360 pounds.
Oh, no, eh? I just cut down a bunch of trees, eh?
Okay, maybe
that's what it was.
Benching trees.
You know what I did just after this? I went and made my own maple syrup. That's what clearly what I did.
Right.
Yeah. I wish I'd had my hockey gear and some stuff up there just to really.
The camera looks so out of place here, like in terms of the context. Yeah. So no, I think we get the gist. You're making an honest effort. So good job. Good on you.
The one thing that is actually missing is the fact that we don't have Tim Hortons here in Germany, and that would fill out the picture nicely.
Yes.
Timbits and a double.
There seems like there's a fair bit of snow there though.
It's not bad. It's not a ton, but it sticks around. All right. There you go. That's it. Basically, I lit it with one light. That's lit. A bare flash off to the camera right.
Right.
And that's that. There's not much else to it, except for it was not, because it was pitch black up there. There was actually no lights on at all.
Right.
And so getting focus was difficult when you have to do the timer move.
Right.
So this is my camera. My 5D is on the Gorillapod. And I used the live view to zoom in to the camera, to the tripod, and focus on that.
Right.
Hit the timer, ran in, and made sure I was relatively close on the same focal plane as the camera so that I would be in focus.
That's good. And what's the missing detail on this shot? Like you,
the eggs of Oku this week.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is my full-frame camera. So I shot that with my 50 mil lens, ISO 640.
Okay.
At an f-stop of 5.6. And the missing link is, what is the shutter speed here?
Okay.
Keeping in mind, I do have a flash off to the side.
Right.
Now, the flash power doesn't really matter. I think it was 1/16th on the SB28, but there's so many variables involved in the distance and the zoom and all that, that trust me, it's irrelevant to the shutter speed. But the shutter speed matters. That's the hint I will give. It matters to the picture.
Okay.
All right, let's see your lumberjack shot.
I did not take that shot.
You don't look like a lumberjack at all.
No, I look like a guy this morning who had given up on the fact that a star photo was not happening. And I went down to the spot that I was hoping to take a star photo shot and snapped one in the haze that has been the last week in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So this is one of my favorite spots, and I know I've used it in different shots in the past, but it's also a place where there wouldn't have been a lot of light pollution, and a pretty neat, I think, on the long exposure, if I was able to take it here, I probably would have been able to scoop up a little light to get sort of the idea of the boats and the shoreline. So I was hoping that would have been my photo, and it still might be if I get the right conditions, but it would have to be over a weekend because I'm not doing this on a weeknight heading out to Gary Point. So
right.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was me, and I have my 60 on a tripod, and then I put my other camera pointing skyward. And the reason I did it this way is because I wanted to shoot sort of like I had borrowed a lens.
Whoa.
Oh, what? I can't say that?
Yeah, but that's going to be your... I decided that's going to be the part you leave out.
The focal length?
Yeah.
Oh, so you can't even say what the lens is?
Well, that might give it away, won't it?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. It'll give you the range anyways.
Yeah. So this okay. the camera in the picture is your old camera.
Yes. That's the T2i, yeah.
So you use the 6D to take this picture.
Use the 6D to take this picture.
Okay, I'm going to give the Exifoku info right now.
Okay.
You shot it at ISO 250.
Okay.
F5.6.
Okay.
Very popular this week.
Yeah.
And a shutter speed of 1/500.
Okay.
Trust me, you did. I looked at the info.
That I trust that you did.
Yeah, so the missing link is the focal length, but the spoiler, or the not the spoiler, the hint is that Adam borrowed a lens this week. So what lens was it? We don't know.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. Good. No, this is nothing wrong with this picture at all. Except for if we're having the lumberjack contest, definitely second place.
Yeah, it's funny though that I went down to take this photo because I wanted to prove that it was very, you know, cloudy and gloomy. Uh-huh. Except for in about the 5 minutes before I was taking this photo, like the sun, like you see how the background totally blows out on the one side. Well, the sun came out right as I was trying to get, like, it broke through the clouds and it's just blaring. And I'm like, oh no, now it looks like it's been sunny in Vancouver. Like if I turned around and shot this the other way for, again, a very small window, there was a big chunk of blue sky. And then I was like, oh no, this isn't good. And so I ended up turning around and shooting the other way where it was still all gray. And, you know, there is sun coming from, well, you see it's hitting the left side of my head and stuff. But it was all blowing out where behind that little lighthouse is. And so I had to, you know, use perspective in order to make it look cloudier than for those few minutes it was. It did turn cloudy again, but I wasn't going to hang around and wait to see what happened.
So essentially you were getting hooked, but the ref didn't see it. So you took a dive. Great
analogy.
Yeah.
It's been a while since a really solid analogy for you. That's good. I like that hockey analogy.
Yeah, there, yeah. So my only thinking on this one is knowing the terrain.
Yeah,
is that if you were to take your star trail photo, how you have it set up there, you're not going to anchor it with the North Star like Don told you to.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't.
But if you take it the other way, you miss out on those boats. But there are boats in Scotch Pond, right?
Yeah, and there is a nice kind of curvature to the landscape the other way. And again, that's where I initially set up to take it, except for it was too blue, so I couldn't take it that way.
Yes. I look forward to it. I look forward to the actual this will probably happen in the summer, let's be honest.
Yeah, more likely in the summer. Although I do like the fact that it gets dark early with my whole bedtime routine.
Yes. Yeah, that's one thing that that Don doesn't take into consideration when he issues these challenges, that he doesn't have kids.
Yeah. He stays up late, it seems.
Let's talk about Don some more. So there you go. Good challenge. It's kind of funny that we both did the failure photos. We couldn't do it because it was cloudy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It is what it is. So I apologize for not being able to take a star photo. One time I will take a star photo to prove that that I have the motivation to do it.
Yeah, I don't apologize for the weather. It's out of my control.
Yes.
No. I looked every single night. And I would sigh, be like, oh, go outside and look, and then see it was cloudy and go, yes.
I'm just glad that you weren't able to take one, because I would have never lived it down. Again, it's different that you couldn't take one because, you know, now you're singing the same tune, but I fully expected that you were going to have one, and I was just going to hear it, like, you know, the giant failure that I was, that I couldn't make the weather cooperate.
I'm still disappointed that you didn't go lumberjack, but
I didn't know that was part of it. I didn't know.
Well, that's just part of everyday life, man. You're Johnny Canuck, right?
I am.
Mm-hmm. There you go. This week's topic, we're going to talk about how to shoot in the snow.
Okay.
Now, you're kind of hitting the window now where you might not get snow in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, we haven't really had it. I mean, you can go visit it in the mountains. We did that once over the holidays.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know we're going to be back, though. That's the catch.
Well, now you have to, because I'm going to tell you how to shoot good pictures in the snow.
Okay, all right, I can't wait.
Although I saw some of your wife's iPhone pictures, and they look good.
There you go.
I mean, that's the rub, is that if you're going to take some of those, some of the auto ones look fantastic.
Yeah.
Ish. I mean, not always, but here's how you take, you know, controlled pictures in the snow.
Okay.
Now, this has nothing to do with Dawn's, just more Dawn. This is like very Dawn-centric.
What is?
This whole show, what we're talking about.
Wow.
So I'm just going to say this has nothing to do with Dawn's snowflakes that he takes.
Okay.
That are amazing. And we're going to talk about how to photograph people enjoying the snow.
Okay.
And that's very difficult.
I'm anxiously awaiting.
So difficult, we're not even going to introduce the concept of using your flash in the snow. We're just going to talk about how to get good ambient exposures.
Okay.
So, first off, what happens when it snows? What sort of what's the side effect of snow?
It's cold.
There you go. I think actually snow is the side effect of it being cold, but you get the idea.
Right, yeah.
So in the cold, make sure you're ready for it. Now, we talked about this in a past episode, but just a quick rehash is your batteries are going to take a dive quickly.
Right.
So make sure you have a spare. I always recommend having a spare battery. Okay. And just know that they're not going to last. So do your best to preserve them. Don't spend too much time looking at your LCD screen and you know, going through photos. That's just going to eat your battery up. And you'll need it for taking pictures.
Okay.
Keep plenty of wipes around and stuff to keep your camera dry in case, you know, any moisture that develops on there. You want to keep the lens, the front element clear.
Okay.
So there's that.
Now, ballpark, you know, how cold it would have to be for that to happen?
I find that it's not so much the cold, it's the changing. I'm not a meteorologist, so I don't really know. I find okay. when it's just nice and -5 or -8 or something, and it just stays like that, I think I find no problems.
Yes, that's what I was kind of thinking, is that I haven't really experienced that. The only time it seems like it fogs up or anything on the glass is when you know move from outside to inside.
Yeah, in that case, yeah. But there's other times when, you know, let's say the snow is wet and you maybe get some splashed up on it.
Okay, yeah.
When it's -8, it's just you're going to be able to brush it off quite easily. It's when it's, you know, in around 0 to -2 to +1 when that turns into water very quickly.
Okay.
And so you want to be prepared for that. And so have a lot of wipes around. Make sure you have a good bag. Make sure you bring your bag. That's what I do. I tend to bring – we've done a lot of sledding lately because – you know, it's snowy here, and my kid likes it.
Right.
So, you know, I wish he liked sitting on the couch watching Mad Men, but she's one, doesn't really get the nuances.
Right.
So, yeah, so we do a lot of sledding, and so I take my, what's the backpack bag that we have? What's it called?
Oh, it's, see, now I'm drawing a blank.
The Low Pro
it's Low Pro 302 all-weather sling something.
The sling bag, the 200. I think mine's the 200 something.
Yeah, something like that. Isn't it called like the 200? That. Yeah, 202 right. Maybe. It's an okay. All-weather one. I think we you can go back and listen to the bag episode.
That's right. That's why I use that one, though, because like you can throw it on your back. I don't bring all my equipment. I usually bring my, you know, one body, one lens, because I'm not trying to cover the whole event, because we are going to go sledding more than once. So next time I'll bring a different lens if I want. But in Vancouver, where you maybe only have one shot at it before it melts, you might want to bring more lenses. Who knows?
Right.
But I don't do that. So I throw it in that sling bag, and then, you know, when I want to go sledding, I can put the camera away quite easily and put the all-weather cover over and not worry about my camera.
Right, yeah.
So that's my move. Move number three. This one I highly recommend, and I think you probably were going to go this way anyways. Use your old camera.
Yes.
I don't bring my 5D out. I mean, nothing wrong with it. You can bring your new one out. It's going to handle it. It's just I'm more nervous about it. I'm more hesitant to just leave it laying around, put it down and go sledding myself.
Right.
With my old 40D, which has got a lot of miles on it, I don't mind putting it down in the bag and enjoying. I don't think anyone's going to walk off with it.
Right. Yeah. And I sort of have a similar feeling. And it was interesting when we went to the up to the mountains to do some tobogganing or sledding, whatever you want to call it. You know, I saw a mom walking around with her kids with the 5D Mark III and a very nice L lens on it. And I was thinking, wow, can't believe she's bringing that out sledding.
That's a $5,000 setup.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know that she actually got on a toboggan or not. But again, just, you know, hanging from her neck, and it was snowing like crazy. And I just thought, yeah, it's just not me. I would never do that. And I mean, I wish I had the pictures that she probably got, because I didn't bring a camera at all. But it seems like you're bringing your camera into a war zone.
Right. Which, I mean, if your job entails that you make $5,000 a day, I would have Mark III in the trunk of my car.
Yeah.
Just, true enough. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Although I think if I had that much money, my car wouldn't have a trunk. You'd be one of those guys.
Right.
You know, it'd be a Ferrari or some sort like that. Actually, I wouldn't, but the guy in my Facebook picture, that guy would have a Ferrari. And yellow, too. Not even a red one like you should have. It'd be yellow or something stupid. That guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Who
buys a yellow Ferrari?
Yeah, I know. What a waste.
We've offended our whole yellow Ferrari listening audience now.
No, they know. They absolutely know. So anyways, yeah, I bring my old camera. I bring my 40D. You know what? Mostly because if my 5D were to go down, it's how I make my living. Like, it's my main tool, and I can't be without it.
Right.
You know, and so my kid would rather eat than have awesome full-frame pictures of her sledding.
Right.
She's selfish that way.
Yeah.
So I bring that one out. But I do bring out my 70-200, because that's a great lens for sledding photos.
Yeah, it can get in nice and tight.
You can get it nice and tight, but also, even on the full-frame or the crop sensor camera, you have such a wide-open space, you can get back far enough to have a wide enough shot to show what's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
See, a lot of options there. So that's my favorite lens for that. The focus is very fast.
It's sharp, super sharp.
It is sharp. It is very sharp. And so that's my go-to setup. So, but I definitely bring the old camera for that reason. So now into shooting. How do you shoot? Well, what would be the first, like, first of all, you're going to go out there and shoot some stuff in the snow up at say, Mount Seymour. Seymour, where you went?
Yes.
Okay. You're up to Mount Seymour. Let's say you brought your T2i.
Yep.
70-200. What mode are you going to shoot in?
What mode am I going to shoot in? Probably manual. Because that's what I shoot in all the time.
Okay. But if you're not, if you're an AV shooter normally, what mode are you going to shoot in?
If I am an AV mode shooter?
Mm-hmm.
Would I not shoot in AV mode?
It's a trick question. You should still shoot in manual.
Oh, I failed the trick question. Yeah, okay, because AV mode is going to mess this up.
AV mode is, there's so many moving parts with AV mode. It's great. It's a great, if you're shooting AV mode in life, then keep doing it. It's great. You want to move to manual probably, but AV mode pops up every now and then.
Yeah.
Exposure in the snow is difficult.
Right.
Because guess what? It's white and it's everywhere.
Yes.
And so your meter is going to be fooled, and your meter is going to make that snow middle gray. It's going to say, well, that clearly needs to be right in the middle.
Right.
But it doesn't, does it? Where should snow register? If you're taking just a photo of outdoor day, where would snow register on your meter?
Where would snow? It should be well off to the right.
It should be about +2, or if your camera goes to +3, like I think the Nikons do, but point is, it should be on the right-hand side, like you said. Or left-hand side if it goes the other way, but I think it's always the right-hand side.
Yes, I think so too.
So in the Canon world, it is at +2.
Okay.
Okay, that's where you want it to go. Now, you can, if you want to shoot in AV mode, you can use the exposure compensation and put it up at +2, and hopefully that's going to give you a good result. And sometimes it will, but not often.
Okay.
Okay? So what we're going to do is, let's say it's still snowing. It's one of those days where it is snowing, so it's nice and cloudy, nice cloud covers.
Right.
What's that going to mean for lighting?
You're going to have less of it?
Less of it, sure.
Or it's going to be nice, even light? Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, it's going to be nice and even. Not just even, like across your scene. Like if we talk about looking for open shade, you're going to have plenty of open shade. In fact, pretty much any direction you point your camera, for the most part, is going to be consistent lighting.
Okay.
So that means what I do in that situation, first of all, I love it. Now, you're going to get, the colors aren't going to necessarily pop like they would in the sun or whatever, but you're going to have such consistent lighting that you can meter once and then forget about it.
Okay.
And then run with it and just focus on taking good pictures.
And so do you, you know, change to a sort of spot metering mode, or what do you do there?
Well, now there we go. How do you meter? What's a good way to meter in the snow? What would you think?
I would probably go to a spot meter and pick a spot that looks like it the way you want to look at.
Okay. You can spot meter. You can. It, but you know what? It doesn't really matter in this case. Because we're not shooting on AV mode, we're shooting on manual, which means we're going to set our exposure. Once we set our exposure, metering no longer matters. It's as if your camera doesn't have a meter. Don't need it.
Okay.
Okay. So the way I do this is I don't even bother setting it to spot because it's not going to matter.
It's going to be the bulk of what you put in the frame anyways.
I am going to go find a patch of snow that is representative of sort of the overall scene.
Right.
With no, you know, nothing else getting in the way, no shadows, which you're probably not going to have in flat lighting anyway. And I meter off that and I tell my camera, this is +2. Now, this is something that we talked about in our zone system light episode. Light being not L-I-G. Opposite of complicated. That's what it was. Not opposite of dark. That kind of light. We talked about that in the zone system where, you know, we're going to establish where we're going to place different tones.
Yes.
So I tell my camera. I get my camera dialed in and tell it, okay, fill the frame with snow. Tell it to be +2, and that's it. You're off to the races.
Okay, so now are you going to leave, or you're just going to count clicks from there on in? Because are you going to leave your aperture and your shutter speed the same after that?
That's a good point. Probably. In the way I've been shooting, yeah, I get dialed into how I want it. I establish, you know, I know what I'm going to be shooting. And generally, nothing changes, but if it does, that's a great way to do it, is just quickly count clicks. And because you're probably not going to take a wide variety.
But I just figure, you know, if you've got a nice scenic background, you're probably going to want to take some, you know, that are maybe at F9 or F10. And you're also probably going to take a bunch where you want a really shallow depth of field or zoom in on your kid's face as they're tobogganing or sledding or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think you are going to probably run it up and down.
Possibly. I have found that it doesn't come up that often. Like, right. When I do want to take a wide shot showing a nice background, I find that just by shooting with a shorter focal length,
okay,
I tend to find, you know, and backing up to allow, you know, more room, I tend to, it opens it up enough.
Okay.
Now, you're right. It might come up. You might be in a situation. Generally, when it's foggy out, you don't have, or overcast, you don't have as nice a background anyways.
Right.
So it doesn't come up. But yes, if it does come up, you can count clicks. And if that's too far, feel free to re-meter, to reset your camera, and then take another reading. But you'll find by setting the snow at +2, that is going to be as white as your camera can handle without blowing it out.
Okay.
So the snow will appear to be white, but also still have a tiny bit of detail remaining in it. So it'll look like snow, not just blowing off into nothing. And likely, depending on the situation, what kind of light you're in and all that, your skin tones should fall relatively close to the range that you want them. Now, ideally, you could go in and use a bounce board to fill in some of the sheds, you know, fill in some of the little gaps in the face, or use a flash, but that gets complicated. And when your right. kid's sledding around, don't worry about it. Just get it close, and if you want to raise the shadows later on or something like that in post, go ahead. But you probably won't need to. You'll be very, very close to what you want to do.
Okay.
So there's that. So, alternatively, if you don't want to do that, if you want to be very specific, you can use your spot meter. And what I would do in that situation is I wouldn't meter off the snow. I would meter off my subject's face.
Okay.
And place that tone appropriately. Now, someone like myself, that would mean my skin would likely fall in the wintertime, probably +1. In the summer, I don't know, maybe +2/3, because I'm tanned.
Right.
So it's going to be a little bit darker. So it's going to, you know, if I were to place it at +1 in the winter and the summer, it's going to be different exposures.
Okay.
So, you know, so someone like myself, around +1-ish, maybe +2/3, and the rest of the exposure should fall into place. Now, in this case, you do run the risk of potentially losing some detail in the snow.
Right.
So, it's whatever whichever way you want to go.
Okay. Now, as far as, you know, what generally would happen, because I think we've all seen some of the photos, if you were to just leave it in AV mode, generally it's the pictures that look like the people are too dark, right? Like their faces are completely in darkness. Is that sort of the effect that happens in the snow when you use AV mode?
Yeah, that's exactly right. What ends up happening is your camera looks at the overall scene and sees so much of that white there, and it establishes the exposure according to that.
Right.
Which means it brings it right down, and your subject, which is the important part, will come out very, very dark.
Now, what happens in auto? Does it sort through this?
In auto, I would expect the same results, except I bet you your pop-up flash would engage.
Okay.
Because it does that automatically. Now, there is a setting you can use. There is a snow/sand setting on most cameras that essentially it takes into consideration the fact that you're telling it you're in the snow, so it's going to basically overexpose by 2 stops.
Okay.
It's doing the exact same thing that you would do, except you have much more control over it now by doing it yourself.
Okay.
So these images, like when you're shooting out when it is still snowing, you tend to lack a lot of contrast in your images. And I don't mind this. Like I kind of like it.
Do you try to add it back in afterwards?
Not really. Okay. No, I like the fact that it lacks contrast because it's a pretty accurate depiction of the scene.
Right.
Now, I will adjust the curves a little bit and bring a little bit of contrast back, and hopefully in my subject, and leave the snow the same. So I will tweak it a little bit, but I don't go overboard.
Okay.
So now let's say you're out and it snowed a bunch and then it cleared up and now it's very sunny. Very, very difficult position to put yourself in. Because right. Now we're talking about high contrast situations. But the technique is pretty much the same of how I approach it.
So you still start with the snow generally?
I do. I end up shooting a couple of test images first before we get into the important stuff. But I will meter off the snow exactly the same way and put that at +2. And then I just have to pay a little more attention about which direction I'm pointing the camera. Now, what I try to do is just keep the sun behind me-ish.
Right.
Somewhat. I like the angled light. Like if it's off to 45 degrees on either side, I'm okay with that. In fact, that's even better because in the wintertime, especially starting around, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun is relatively low in the sky. And if the sun is directly behind you, you're likely to see your own shadow in the shot.
Right.
So 45 degrees is nice. And it tends to produce a nice angled light across your subject, especially their face.
Now, any of the shadows, considering that you've metered off the snow, any of the parts of their face that are in shadow, aren't they going to be way too dark in that scenario?
Potentially. Now, depending on the situation that you find yourself in, where you keep the sun and try to catch them with enough of their face lit up,
right?
You are going to find higher contrast situations, and some of the darks will be very, very dark with the shadows, but that's just life.
Yeah.
So I don't worry too much about that. Ideally, you'd have you want to bring out your off-camera flashes and light up those scenes, but you don't really have time when your kid's racing down the hill.
True.
So I don't worry about that. I try to expose for the best I can, and we got pretty good results. I'll actually post a few. I'll post a couple of shots that we took, one in the sun and one in the cloud, to show some examples of very, very simple. I shot them exactly how we're talking about right now.
Okay.
So make sure to shoot raw. That's my tip as well. Because it's a lot of... If you want to bring some of the details back later on, it's nice to have them there.
Yeah, you can do more with it after the fact.
Right. If you shoot JPEG and you blow the snow out a little bit, that's it. That's the end. It's gone. But if you shoot raw and you blow it out a little bit, if you miss by a couple of stops, you're out of luck.
Right.
But if you miss by a little bit, you can always bring that back in and bring a little detail into the snow if you want, or bring the shadows up a little bit if you underexposed. Ideally, you're going to nail these exposures, and the stuff that I shot, I didn't have to adjust the exposure at all.
Great.
Other little tweaks that happen, for example, white balance. This is a tricky situation, is white balance. So as I'm sure you can imagine, like let's say you're out in the snow on a cloudy day, it's still snowing. And do you have any idea, how would you go about white balance in this situation?
I would shoot it on auto and then I would basically do my own visual correction. But I'm going to assume that I'm going to have to really warm it up because the snow and the shade, especially if the sun isn't out, is going to make it very cool.
It's going to come out. It's going to always skew to the blue side because that's the real situation.
Right.
And so generally what I end up doing is I set a manual white balance by metering off the snow. I use the snow as my quote-unquote gray card.
Okay.
Which isn't going to be perfect, but it's going to give you a decent starting point. So I will white balance off the snow, and because I'm shooting raw, I can make an adjustment later. So that when I get home and find all the blue photos, I don't mind. I correct a little bit, but I don't go overboard. I like to leave a little bit of a blue tinge to them.
Okay.
Because that's how it's an accurate representation of the scene that you were just in.
I agree.
If you crank it right up and take these blue photos and make them really yellow and the snow gets kind of a weird color and it changes the entire mood of the photo. So I recommend not going overboard. Leave a little bit of blue in there. Nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
The other way to do it is, if you don't want to set a manual white balance, is you can always, in Aperture or Lightroom or wherever you use, is use the eyedropper tool to select, just click on a piece of the snow and set that as your white balance. And I've found that Aperture tends to really, really warm it up. Whereas normally, like daylight, you're going to shoot it around 5,000 or 5,500 Kelvin. It sometimes puts it at like 8,500 or 9,000.
Yeah.
Which is very, very, very orange. And so I'm not a fan of that. I tend to warm it up, like in terms of Kelvin, about the degrees, I tend to warm it up to maybe around 6,000, 6,500 or something like that. So that's it.
Great.
If your picture is in the sun, you're going to find they're going to be quite a bit warmer anyways.
Yes.
And so that's okay. I mean, you'll find two very different pictures. Now, if you warm up your cloudy pictures and then compare them to your sun pictures, you're not going to see much. You'll see a difference, but the sort of mood behind them will be different. And you'll notice sledding on a sunny day is not the same as on a snow day. So preserve that.
Okay.
Any questions about shooting in the snow?
No, I can't wait to get out there and do some.
Well, the other good thing, what I do like about the snow is that you do have a global bounce board. Like, it does provide enough bounce light to sort of fill in your subject's shadows on its own.
Great. I was not aware of that.
Something to think about.
Okay.
So that's it. Wow. You want to talk about rockets or something?
No. Let's shut her down.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Okay.
Next week's challenge.
You have one. I can't explain it. I kind of know where you're going, but you better explain it.
Yeah, next week's challenge is going to be a balancing act.
That's it. How about you explain that?
Okay, well, you and I will both put on our lumberjack outfits and stand on one foot.
Okay.
No, next week we're going to talk about how to balance the flash and the ambient and the importance of that. And so this week, what I want the challenge to be, we're going to take a flash picture.
Okay.
But it's not going to be in complete darkness. We're going to have some ambient light as well.
Okay.
And the challenge is to balance the two so that they're pretty even, so that it looks like the flash is just part of the picture, not dominating.
Okay. Okay. Try to balance it.
That's it. Balancing act. Balance your flash and your ambient. The end. Now, that leaves a lot open for interpretation, and I know you don't like that.
No, I don't.
So it should also be a picture of your car parked in front of your house at 8 p.m.
Okay. Now I can do that.
There you go. Now you have some parameters to work in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Okay.
But that's your setup there. Actually, 8 p.m. is not going to give you any ambient at all, so ignore that.
Yeah.
Great.
All right.
So websites.
Where can we find stuff?
Stuff can be found at, my stuff at alanattridge.com. Your stuff?
SchwartzChronicles.com or Facebook Two Hosers.
Facebook is a good spot. Facebook/Two Hosers. That's the name we got, the URL.
And I noticed that, you know, you've been also posting some family pictures on there as well.
Have I?
Didn't you?
Maybe.
Yeah, you did. Your Canadette shots of your kid were up there.
Oh, right. I didn't know what you're talking about. Somebody asked about, somebody had just got a Canonette. One of our listeners got a Canonette given to him, which made me a little bit jealous.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to give me or Adam a Canonette, just give it to me. Don't give it to Adam. Or any old film camera, let us know, because you could just mail it to us. We would love to have them.
Yes.
Someone asked about the Canonette, and so I posted a couple shots I took on film probably this summer. Like, it was definitely this year, like, or 2012, but I think it was summer. I forget which ones I posted.
It was beach, so I'm guessing the summer.
Yes, that's right. There was the beach, and I forget the context, but there you go. Look on Facebook, and I posted those. I hadn't intended on posting those family photos, but there they are.
Yeah, I think you should post more family photos on there.
I will. I have some. I meant to post one I took of my kid getting ready to go sledding, which featured basically the three things I love the best: window light, my 85mm lens, and my daughter.
Well, there you go.
In that order. That's my favorite, in that order, too.
And your wife, somewhere down the line?
You know, she helped me she's helping me raise the kids, so, yeah.
Part 3B?
Yeah, it's top 10. Definitely top 10.
Okay.
It's basically just a snapshot, but it was just, she's standing by the window, and with that 85mm lens, I just love that lens and that setup, and the snapshots you get with it, they look like studio shots, so.
Well, great, post it.
Will do. Okay, I'll post that one in her mountain equipment co-op toque.
Okay.
And for those listening, toque is the hat you wear in the winter.
Yes.
We've had people ask about that. What's a toque? I'm not joking.
Well, I think it's a Canadian sort of word.
I just assumed it was worldwide. They would adopt that name.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's it. You can find us on the Facebook or twohosers.com, where you can find all you need to know about the iTunes and the Twitter, Google+. You can find our hockey card pictures up there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's where you can find us. So, that's it, Adam.
Okay.
Done. In the books. Okay. Until next week, then, get out there and make better photos.